letters of Paul in the New Testament, you're going to soon realize that many of those passages also address some difficult subjects that are relevant to the circumstances in which they were living. And God often called people out, sometimes by name, for their behavior. And there are many passages of Scripture that can be convicting for us if we will approach them from a spirit of humility. And yet, there are also many passages in which people are commended for their faith. They are praised for their devotion to God. There are times when people are called out, not for doing something wrong, but rather for doing something good or doing something right. And I just want to briefly, before we look at this passage in 1 Thessalonians, to give you a sampling of that from some of the letters that Paul wrote to the Christian believers of the New Testament. In Romans chapter 1, for instance, he tells the believers in Rome, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." In his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, he writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." To the Philippians, he said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And in Colossians, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people." And so in each of these letters, Paul commends the Christians in their churches for their faith. Often those letters do contain some difficult words in which he corrects them for some error or scolds them for some digression into sin. And yet he begins with these words of praise. Jesus did something similar in the book of Revelation when he addressed the seven churches that are now located in modern-day Turkey. In chapter 2, he told the church at Ephesus, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." However, in verse 4, he says, "Yet I hold this against you." So today, as I was praying about what to share with you, I really want to focus on not those things that we often do wrong, and those things are many, but I would like to address those things that you do well. I'd like to commend you for your faith and praise you for those things that you're doing right. This past week, I was able to observe many of you living out your faith, and it filled my heart with joy. A smile came on my face because I recognized that it wasn't just this one week, but it's a continual progression of how you live out your life for Jesus. I am in agreement with John the Elder, who testified, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Well, that's my heart today. And I'm just going to tell you that, first of all, my heart was filled with joy as several of you agreed once again to do a daily devotional with me through the YouVersion Bible app. And I'm not just filled with joy over the fact that you're doing a devotion with me, but really I'm encouraged by the fact that there's evidence that so many of you are reading the Bible on a daily basis, that you are engaging with God's Word. And some of you I know are not using that app, but you're preparing for your Sunday school lesson. You're reading that material. You're opening up some kind of devotional book to draw closer to God. I know many of you listen to Christian radio on your way to work or on the way home in the car. Maybe you turn it on first thing in the morning as you're getting ready and you allow those lyrics to speak to you in some way. On Wednesday evening, I had the great privilege of sitting in the back and watching some of our teenagers as Zach and some others led in worship. And these young people were singing songs of praise to God. And Zach, here's the great part about it. They knew the words. And they were singing along because they were songs that they hear us doing here on Sunday mornings. So I'm grateful for those people who lead us in worship, and that's now spilling over to the next generation. I cannot even begin to tell you how proud I am of a group of students who led their classmates in a time of scripture reading and prayer out in front of their school on Wednesday morning at Calhoun Elementary School. I was able to be there. Zach was at the middle school, and just about the entire student body participated in that. There were students at the high school, but Caitlin Brown, Ansley Melton, Allie Austin, Vance and Bryson Helton, Ava and Whitman Cecil, Jack Hawley, and Luke Brown stood before their classmates and read scripture and prayed for their school and their families and their friends. What I loved even more about that was seeing their parents posting on social media about their students participating in this event. Because so many times, as parents and grandparents, we want to celebrate our kids' academics or their sports. But these parents were celebrating the fact that their children were engaging their classmates in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's encouraging to me. I need to brag on our teenagers for a minute. Over 50 students from our church went to a See You at the Pole rally at Walnut Memorial Baptist Church on Wednesday night, and by far, we had the largest group of students represented at that rally. Most of the other churches had 10 or less students there. And this is even churches, large churches in Owensboro, that should have been represented. But we had 50 plus young people there. This Wednesday night, we are hosting a meal for the entire football team and cheerleaders and any other student that wants to come. And we are expecting 100 students to be on our campus on Wednesday night. So be in prayer about that and encourage them to participate. I am also so grateful for the number of people who show up here every week to help us minister to people in our community who have some kind of need, whether it be clothes or food or help with a utility bill. And I had a man call me this week who had been down here for help. And he said, "Pastor, those people were so nice to me." It was almost as if he was amazed at the love that he received. I know those volunteers, they don't want any name recognition, but I want to personally thank them for sharing Jesus with our community. It's a great, great opportunity to minister to the heart of McLean County and beyond. Thank you. I am also thankful for those of you who faithfully give in support of the ministries of our church. I'm grateful for each Sunday school teacher who prayerfully prepares to lead the discussion in their classes, for all of you who also come prepared to participate in those classes. I'm grateful for the men who keep us safe each Sunday as we worship together. I'm grateful for a group of people who have been doing handicap ramps to help people get in and out of their homes through our Spark ministry. I am grateful for the group of people who pray every day for the needs of our church and the needs of our community. And there's a little text messaging group. If you'd like to be a part of that, let me know, or let Michelle know, or Trina Hollander, and we'll add you to that group of just, these are prayer requests, urgent needs that are immediate. And there's a group of people that will stop what they're doing and start praying for those things. But what I like even more is that they encourage each other in that process and support each other. They pray with a believing spirit that God's going to answer those prayers. Honestly, I could go on and on about the many wonderful people who are doing wonderful things, but I especially wanted to focus on these three things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 that I think all of you can do as followers of Christ. Paul mentions these three things in verses 2 and 3. He has these words of praise for the believers in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. One commentary that I read concerning this passage of Scripture said, this is what church people are supposed to look like. This is what church people are supposed to look like. First, Paul says that their faith in God was the fuel that produced their Christian work. In other words, they served God because of their faith. They had such a deep commitment to their faith that it produced in them this desire to serve. James says that our Christian faith and our Christian deeds should go hand in hand. Which means that the greater your faith in God, the more you'll serve Him. And I would say the inverse is also true. If you're not serving God, then your faith is probably weak. I'm grateful that there are so many of you who are actively engaged in serving God. But if you happen to be one of those people who have filled your schedule with other things, well, then I would encourage you to examine your devotion to God. Paul says the Thessalonian believers, they're prompted to serve because of their love for God and their love for other people. They served because they cared. I would say that your passions drive your pursuits. Your passions drive your pursuits. For example, if you have a passion for hunting or a passion for fishing, then you're going to devote a great deal of your time, a great deal of your money, a great deal of your energy on doing what? Hunting and fishing. If your passion is antiquing, then you'll drive 2 hours in order to find some antique. And a few of us did that this past week. We drove to Glendale, Kentucky, a little crossroads, a whistle stop. There's a whistle stop restaurant. But this little community, it just had antique shops. And I just went into one. That's all I needed. Antiquing's not my passion. But I came out of there realizing that the stuff I have in my garage is a lot more valuable than I thought it was. I couldn't believe the prices on some of this rusty old junk. I mean, antiques, treasures. That's what they were. If your passion is antiquing, then you'll pursue that. And I would tell you that if you're passionate about serving God, then you're going to pursue serving God. Paul said that they were so passionate because of their deep love for God, their deep love for other people. And the word he uses for labor, it's a sacrificial labor. And some of you, you give your time and your energy to serving God because of your deep love for Him. You are here serving during the week. You help with the kids on Wednesday nights with our kids program, or you help with the youth. You might volunteer in other ways by serving on a committee or helping with a ministry, but you do it because you love God, you love His church, and you love people. And I would just cautiously add, if you're not doing any of those things, then you may want to ask yourself, what do I truly love? What am I really passionate about? What am I pursuing more than anything else? Paul also claims that the Thessalonians were inspired by their hope in Jesus to persevere. In other words, they thought it was worth it. We're studying this letter to the Thessalonians on Wednesday nights. Now, according to the book of Acts, that they experienced a great deal of persecution. So much so that a man that was allowing Paul to stay at his house, they arrested him. And Paul had to leave during the middle of the night to avoid being beaten. And so after a few months, Paul sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to check on these believers, to make sure they're continuing in their faith. And Timothy comes back to report they are still serving God, even in the face of great persecution. And I would tell you that many of you have continued to take a stand for God in the face of persecution, in the face of ridicule, or perhaps that you're the minority among a majority of people who believe differently. I hope that you are continuing to put your hope in God rather than the fleeting things of this world. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to call your attention to some areas in which we do need to take a stand, a positive stand for Christ, even when it's not the popular opinion. And so if you picked up a bulletin this morning, I'm going to ask you to take it out for just a moment. If you picked up one of our bulletins this morning, and if you'll look about midway through that bulletin, you're going to come across a page that has some red and black ink on it, and at the top it says, "Woe to him who gives a drink to his neighbors." Woe to him who gives a drink to his neighbors. Well, a few months ago, it came to our attention that there is going to be a referendum on the ballot for the city of Calhoun to allow alcohol sales. And so we have a chance to vote no to that referendum to oppose alcohol sales in our community. And here's a few reasons why. 1,200. That's the number of people in McLean County who already have an excessive alcohol consumption problem. That's 12% of our population already has an alcohol consumption problem. 15% of the people in our county already admit to binge drinking on a regular basis. 15%. What is the most concerning to me is these statistics here in the middle of this page. It's the most abused substance among young people in Kentucky. Every few years, there is a survey that's conducted at the high school of 10th grade students, and it's called the KIPP survey. Mm-hmm. And last year, this survey revealed that 17% of 10th graders reported consuming alcohol in the last 30 days. 10% of those students reported drinking five or more drinks in a row in the last 2 weeks. What is staggering to me is that these figures are the second highest among students in the state of Kentucky. And we are now looking at possibly making it easier for these students to have access to alcohol. I want you to consider this. Out of all the substances that are potentially harmful to us, it seems that alcohol is the only one that we make easier to get rather than harder to get. There are a lot of people who want us to believe that alcohol sales in our community will have a positive impact on our economy, and it's just not true. Some people say, well, it's increased tax revenue. That tax money doesn't go to the local community. It goes to the state of Kentucky. So we will not see locally an increase in our tax revenue. 0% goes here locally. Also, I've heard people say, well, it's going to increase jobs. However, the way that our occupational tax works is there is a cap of $500 for each individual, and it's based on 1% of their income. So no matter how many new jobs you create, you're only talking about an additional $500 maximum for each person. It's not going to just fill our coffers with money. I think we need to recognize that. And some people have said, well, we'll have increased income from these license fees. By law, there is a maximum of $1,200 for a store, $1,600 for a restaurant that we could actually impose as a local license fee. So again, we're not talking about an increase in thousands and thousands of dollars for our local community. Any money that does come in, by law, also has to go for policing and education related to alcohol abuse. So we're not increasing our improvement of our roads or our sewer system or our fire department or anything like that. It all has to go for this particular purpose. On the November ballot, there is also an amendment, a statewide amendment called the Yes for Life Amendment. And it is basically just indicating that we are saying there is nothing in the state constitution that gives someone a right to an abortion. And so I would ask that you prayerfully pray about voting no for those alcohol sales and yes for that life amendment. I wanted to commend you today for your faith and for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, for your love for God and love for other people. You may have recalled hearing those three things before, faith, hope, and love, part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It actually says that they are the only qualities that remain. That's the only thing that lasts. And so I would tell you, if this does not describe you, if you're not living a life of devotion and faithfulness and service to God, then I would encourage you to do so. It is the best way to live. Would you bow your head with me, please? Lord Jesus, I pray for each person here today that you would, Lord, commend them for those things that they are doing right and convict them for those things that they're not. That you would draw each of us closer to you, and that we would be more fruitful and effective in sharing our faith with the world. Lord, I pray for those that are burdened today and struggling, that you would be an encourager to them and lift them up, that you would meet their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? This altar is open. You can continue those prayers. If you need to know for certain you have a relationship with Jesus, then pray a prayer of faith and confession. Give your heart to him today. But as we sing together, you respond in prayer or in worship.